Spicy meatball. Spicy meatball.
That's what that robot said. Did you listen to it?
A spicy meatball.
No, that robot. No, the other robot. The robot that was on that station in Illinois.
Oh, I didn't. Haven't heard that.
It said, well, it's done now. You can't ever hear it. At one point it said, Mama Mia, that was a spicy meatball. It was so bizarre. I loved it. Okay. Hello, everybody. Nice seeing you again. Welcome to Sportsy Talk on WFMU. We are not robots yet.
I wish I was.
You could be. I suppose it could
happen.
You'd be a good robot. You'd be happier as a robot.
I think so.
Yeah, we all would be happier if you were a robot.
Because robots can dance the robot very easily. They can do the robot dance.
They can do whatever they want because they're robots. All right, let's see what else is happening. Oh, yeah, so this is our first show of 2014.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You know, no, 2015. Oops.
What year is it?
I got the
Who
year
cares?
Wrong. Who cares?
Time is a flat circle.
I did go back into time to look at our highlights from last year.
How'd we do?
We did really great.
Really?
We had a great year last year. I had no idea. Do you feel like we had a great year?
I feel like you had a great year.
No, I feel like we were kind of like coming in and doing the sportsy talk every week, and that was fine, you know, but... We did some amazing stuff last year. Last year was Media Day for the Super Bowl.
That was great.
That was great. all weekend when we were watching Golden Tate score for the Lions, I was saying, he almost hit my co-host. He tried to...
He seems a lot nicer when he's playing football.
Yeah, he does. He probably works off his aggression that way. Chris Cluey was live on our show last year.
He was great.
We had Dr. Al Pertwee, the breeder of the Westminster Kennel Club champion dog.
He was cool.
He was great. We had Hiromi Ayuchi, who spoke to us about the sport of purebred drinking.
Okay.
We had the footballs guy. Yeah, we had the footballs guy, and we had a March Madness brackets contest.
That was pretty good.
CWB Ben won.
I mean, I didn't win that. But.
No, but CWB Ben did, and we had the sport of poetry for National Poetry Month. We had
poetry lost.
Yes, we had a special guest for that one. That was DJ Dan Boda. And listener Jarf spoke to us about the difference between the Charlotte Bobcats, the Charlotte Hornets, and some team called the Pelicans. That was exciting.
I love Jarf.
We had four roller derby champions live in the studio.
That was intense.
There was a lot of estrogen in here that day. we had Dr. Colby going over all the rules of the Tour de France.
Yes.
That was, she actually read the rule book and summarized it for us.
Which is good, because I wasn't going to read
it. I didn't know they had rules. I thought they just went fast.
I thought it was just like hit each other. I thought it was like more of a Mad Max thing.
Exactly, yeah. I had no idea that there were, any kind of regulations concerning it. We had World Cup Brackets Challenge.
I didn't do well on that either.
Yeah, but Jamie Gutierrez won that and was a live guest in our studio. We called a Texas furniture store.
The mattress place?
It was some furniture store about the Gamecocks Aggies challenge game.
Okay. We never called them back, but they must have had to.
I wanted to call them back. You weren't interested in calling them back. I wanted to call them back and find out if they were bankrupt.
Well, they were probably busy, giving away furniture or whatever.
The thing was, if you bought furniture from them and the Aggies beat the Gamecocks by 10 points or more, they would give you the furniture you'd bought free. They would refund your money and you got to keep the furniture. And the Aggies did beat the Gamecocks, sadly. And, that's what happened. We had the footballs guy, you'd mentioned him. We had Chris Murphy a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah,
on the
about
Climax
the
Fisher,
Climax Fisher
girls basketball team
was
winning their thing.
Had won after.
Do you know what? We had him on like almost 3 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, or four
weeks
ago.
Just time flies.
Right? It was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then just like 2 nights ago, I saw that story on the CBS Evening News.
Oh, it was on the CBS Evening News?
Yeah. So we scooped the CBS Evening News.
Was Chris Murphy interviewed?
No. We had the source.
They finally sent the zombie Andy Rooney up there or something like that?
I think. I don't think they sent anybody. They just had some guy that does voiceovers, and he did this kind of NPR-ish voiceover, and then they had, they cut it in with interviews of crying schoolgirls. It was kind of exciting.
They're still crying?
I think they said, I don't know. Yeah,
it's one game, guys.
Yeah. Well, it's the only game they're ever going to win. I think they won because all the seniors and all the juniors fouled out, and so the only
weren't they playing with four ladies at one point? Like
they're playing with three. They were playing with three, like two sophomores,
three to each side?
Two sophomores and a freshman. No, the other side had five.
I don't know.
They were playing three on five in triple overtime, and they went. You know why? Well, my theory is that the ones that have been losing all the time are the juniors and seniors who've just been playing bad for 4 years, right? But
okay.
they threw in the sophomores and the freshmen who never get to play.
Yeah.
They haven't been ruined yet.
They haven't been tainted by all the losing.
The coach hasn't destroyed their playing ability yet. So that, I mean, not to blame it on the coach, but we don't really know.
Well, I mean, anybody could. I could coach a team that goes 0-80.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's.
I know, right? So who couldn't?
It's like, I don't know, guys. Just pass the ball around for a while and
let them
call
score.
A timeout.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
It's easy. Don't worry.
So that does seem like a pretty big.
That was a big year. We had a good year last year, so we got to.
It's a lot of pressure now, man.
We got to resolve to do this year. This year, we are not going to Media Day.
We're not.
Well, I mean, where is it? It's like in Arizona or something.
Maybe there's
a
New York Media Day anyway.
Oh really? Oh, there might
be. I don't
know. Should
maybe
we
check they have
that
like.
We better find that out.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up.
Oh, would you?
I mean, not right now.
Okay.
But I mean, maybe.
But eventually.
Yeah, I think they
soon.
Do have a.
It's got to be pretty soon if we're gonna.
They
get
do have some sort of conference call or something like that. Maybe we could be on.
Oh, that'd be great.
Where
okay.
We'll
yeah.
ask.
Whoever's
the Seahawks.
In.
I don't know.
Who's
whoever's going to be
in. Who's in, do you think?
Who? It's up to Chris Christie who gets into the Super Bowl.
Clearly. Okay, this brings us to our hard-hitting investigative reporting on what is it? Pass Interference Gate.
Pass Interference Gate.
Pass Interference Gate, which happened this week. You know, I like this talk over when it's an excited crowd, but then there's like an abrupt end and a little pause.
I thought it was like a waterfall.
Yeah.
Is that an excited crowd or a waterfall?
It's an expectant crowd.
They're thinking, oh, that was a pass interference call against the Cowboys.
Yeah, they're thinking like, hey, the Lions are up by three, and they've got a first down on that, you know? And then they find out, no. Okay, so we have to explain to everybody.
Chris Christie is the governor of New Jersey.
Many of our listeners are not sportsy people, but we welcome them to this show. And we want them to know that this week was wild card weekend with the playoffs for the NFL.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Wild card weekend. Feel the energy.
The Lions were playing the Cowboys.
Yeah, they were doing pretty good for a while.
Yeah, they were doing great. They were up ahead.
But then, like the city of Detroit, crumbled.
Oh, my God, that Detroit listener. I haven't written back to him yet. He's going to be upset.
Oh, what do you mean? Like that I make fun of Detroit all the time?
Well, I didn't think you were really making fun of it. I mean, it's not, if it's true, it's not,
I mean,
you know,
just
a joke.
Look around, man. Just open a window.
It's pretty sad.
Take a gander.
Yeah. So, the Lions are from Detroit.
Yes.
The Cowboys
football team.
Are from
American
Dallas.
Football.
They were playing American football in Dallas. And they're playing it the American way, which is that, you know, somebody was cheating. Because what happened was there was a textbook pass interference. Right?
Yeah, the Lions are driving. They're moving around.
The Lions are running. Matthew Stafford passes a ball to some Lion. I forget who.
Pettigrew, I think. Or
maybe.
Tight end.
Somebody. He was down there.
He's pretty good.
Some cowboy got in the way.
He's
right?
a rookie.
And he's not
Mr. Rookie Man.
He doesn't turn around to look at the ball. You have to turn around and
pretend. Supposed to look at the ball.
You're supposed
to pretend
that you're
looking at the ball.
Trying to get the ball instead of just like targeting the target. You know,
if you run a guy over, generally,
yeah. If you just run a guy over, then it's you're interfering with the pass in a way that's illegal, and you're not allowed to do that. So that's pass interference. So getting hit in the back of the helmet with the ball.
Yeah.
Is pretty.
That's generally a sign that you
that
committed
you
pass interference.
Yeah, that's like you can't. And you said like the commentators on TV were just saying like, oh well, that's textbook. You know.
I think at one point Joe Buck was like, why even bother to ask the referee
review.
Guy
because
he's obviously going to say that it's a pass interference because everybody knows in the whole stadium it's a pass interference.
Right.
And everybody watching at home already has accepted that it's a pass interference.
And the referee and the umpire, whoever it was, he threw the flag, right? They throw a little yellow flag when a player does something naughty and there's a there's a penalty assessed. And they threw the flag and everybody's like, okay, that's textbook pass interference. Absolutely. Right?
Yeah, I mean I don't think anyone
and then there's this,
a child could have called
yes,
that.
Yes. And then there's a pause. There's a pause. There's a pause. And then one of the other refs runs over and picks the flag up, and they just say, "Yeah, no foul."
Forget about it. Forget what you've seen here today.
Yeah, we didn't mean to do that. Just wipe it from your memory. And then we saw Chris Christie up in the owner's box,
cackling to himself.
Up in Jimmy Johnson, is that the guy's name?
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. Some JJ.
Jimmy Johnson used to be the coach of the, but Jerry Jones is the owner.
Jerry Jones is the owner.
Also,
right.
A sort of fairly evil character, sinister, and
you know, Superman villains often had double.
He would be a good Superman villain, Jerry Jones.
Yeah, they always have those.
Because he's just as loathed by Cowboys fans as he is by the fans of every other team. Because he's destroyed the Cowboys over the course of like 25 years or so.
So Chris Christie, who closes down the bridges and tunnels at will and is trying to get the PATH train knocked out and whatever else he's trying to do, was down there in the owner's box. He was up there, and he's in the Dallas Cowboys owner's box, jumping up and down and celebrating.
Yeah, he was having a good time.
We know where the word came down. From whence came the word?
I think he let him know. Yeah.
That he didn't want to see that penalty.
No.
Pick that thing up, yeah.
Or else there's going to be trouble.
Yep. Didn't he turn off the lights at the Super Bowl last year?
Was that him doing it?
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
I don't know who it was, but the lights did go out.
Yeah, and they had an hour of hanging around waiting for the lights to come back on.
Wait a minute, what's going on?
Why don't we have any lights at the Super Bowl? Yeah, that's when he was fixing the Broncos. He was giving them, you know, special tea or something.
But apparently, the man grew up in New Jersey.
Yes. Who? Chris Christie?
Chris Christie grew up in New Jersey.
Yes.
And was always a Cowboys fan. Now, there's really two choices if you're in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You can either be like a like a Giants fan if you live in North Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could be a Jets fan if you want to be sad all the time.
Yeah.
If
or,
I mean, no one would do that by choice.
Not really. Or if you live in South Jersey.
If you live in South Jersey, you have to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan. In fact, most of Jersey should be Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Lots
because
of them are.
You like to destroy everything that's New York. You want them to be punished in some, you know, terrible
way.
Well,
they just like to punish everybody. They punished Santa Claus in their stadium.
They're rough, I mean, man. They're Philly, they don't play games.
No,
you know, you can't make fun of Philly. As opposed to Detroit, you can punk them anytime you want because they don't even have radios there anymore. But in Philly, man, don't play games with those guys.
Oh, no.
They're scary.
They're terrifying.
I made fun of Philadelphia Poets one time. It was a bad idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Poets? They have rough, tough poets?
They are rough and tough, man. Yeah, it is it is on.
I didn't
you know what I mean?
That.
All the time.
That's wild.
I mean, you could just get jumped.
Do you ever go down there and, like, read poetry?
I have not been down there since because I'm afraid.
Yeah? Oh, I guess.
I mean, I snuck into town one time to watch a Phillies game, but I was in disguise.
How do you disguise yourself?
As
a Gumby outfit?
Cheesesteak. Or as a Gumby outfit.
Somebody chews on you.
But that's the thing. I don't understand how you become the governor of New Jersey and you're still a
Cowboys fan.
Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys are just a loathsome.
They are horrible.
I understand why people are Yankees fans.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees win all the time, and they're great, and
they've had Mickey Mantle and all these great players. Yeah, they're amazing to watch.
Yeah, the Cowboys are just a loathsome creation of greed and disgusting.
They're horrible.
Awfulness.
Horrible.
So I've been cheering against them my entire life.
And then Chris Christie goes down and like fixes the game.
And he's hugging people. See, first he goes for like
the double high five,
and everyone doesn't want to touch him because he's probably got like greasy chili on his hands or some kind of lasagna.
Hey, he had that barometric pressure operation or whatever it is, bariatric surgery, right? Where he, like, they, like, stapled
his
stomach.
Yeah, but he's so big, man.
He didn't lose any weight. Rex Ryan had the same operation.
Rex Ryan looks like $1 million now.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight. Chris Christie had the same operation. He hasn't lost any weight at all.
Well, it's only been a year.
Yeah, it's by now he should. There should be something showing.
He was a big guy.
Yeah, but he hasn't lost any weight at all. He looks.
It's all. He's lost weight on the inside.
He's just hollow.
Yeah.
He's just a hollow man.
Yeah.
The hollow governor of New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Chris Christie fixed the game last night.
He totally did, obviously.
I mean, I don't understand. He's there and he's jumping around and he's hugging people that don't want to be hugged or touched by him.
Yeah.
I mean, he jumps in between Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones' son, I think.
To get a hug.
To get a little hug.
Give me a hug.
It's like, sit down, fat boy. Just relax.
Hey, I fixed the game for you. Give me a hug.
I mean, he gave him the little dead eye, you know, like that one.
Yeah,
little,
I know. I terrified those refs. The only other really bad call was, I think it was the Ravens-Steelers game where they said there were 12 men on the field and then there weren't 12 men on the field.
There clearly weren't 12 men on the field.
They had to, like, they were so embarrassed and they had to, like, apologize.
Like, oops.
Sorry, yeah, there weren't 12 men on the field. And then, like, the next play, there was 12 men on the field.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't understand.
Play, it's like, you think. You know.
Well, the weird thing is the NFL, and it's not even like they're the best referees. Like, the biggest games, you might have the best referees, like in the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game or something.
Uh-huh.
But
I forgot that we might get phone calls.
They just took, like, any line judges, any.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, what are you doing on Sunday? Do you want to go to the Cowboys game and fix that game for the Cowboys? And the guy would be like, yeah, sure, man.
Sure.
Whatever. Okay.
Sure, Governor Christie. Whatever you say.
So.
Is there a little something in it for me?
I mean,
Christie,
you know,
said, sure.
None of these guys have worked together before.
I'll close down your bridge
so
if you go fix this.
When they did that, you know, Jedi mind trick on the guy. Because the guy threw the thing.
He
had the best view of it.
Yeah.
Obviously a guy.
Yeah.
And the other guy went, no, that's not a pass interference that you see. And it was like, no, that was clearly, everybody's talking about it was a pass interference. No, that was not a pass interference.
And then they didn't explain it at the time. You know, usually if they reverse a call or something, they give you an explanation.
Yeah, they're chatty. Those referees are chatty.
They had no explanation because it clearly was pass interference.
It's a holding on number 88. He was holding a guy by the helmet. No, it was just like, forget what you've seen, America.
It didn't happen.
Your eyes have deceived you.
It did not happen. You did not
Cowboys must win.
Yeah, it was awful.
They're never going to get back in the playoffs.
It was bizarre.
So they're going to make them win this year. They're going to grease it. They're going to grease that monkey.
Yeah, they've lost like 4 times now in the playoffs or something. They haven't past the first round for the last 4 or 5 years.
That's all Tony Romo as a surrender monkey.
Playing with a broken back.
He's got a broken back. DeMarco Murray's got like a broken hand.
Yeah, they don't care.
Dez Bryant, I don't know, he just doesn't like people throwing the ball to him and having to catch it. Like, he just seems bothered by that. It's part of his job, but he doesn't care.
It's true. All right, 201-209-9368. If you'd like to speak to us about what you saw on NFL Wild Card Weekend.
I was hoping that Ndamukong Suh would purposely step on...
somebody.
Yeah, like Romo's heart. Just like spear
step
him.
Step on his spine.
Spear him right through the sternum.
Step on his spine.
Apparently that didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
But now they're going up to Seattle to get whooped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to get killed.
Yeah, they'll get killed. I hope so.
I mean, it's going to be fine.
They should be. WFMU, you're on the air, possibly.
Happy New Year.
Oh, hey, Danny D. Danny D, the third man of Sportsy Talk.
Danny, what happened to Hull City yesterday?
Same thing that happened to Bengals.
Bengals was worse.
Bengals. Yeah, the Bengals was...
Except apparently,
painful.
Like, you know, if Hull City played Arsenal every single World Cup, every single FA Cup, I guess that's what it would be.
That's brutal, man. Mm. Well, I was watching... The FA Cup was this weekend, and they take the lamest teams, like the teams that are like your dad's on in some place in the middle.
You have to tell people what this is. It's English soccer.
This is British football time.
Yeah.
And the FA Cup is this giant tournament where they take like the best teams, like Arsenal, and pit them. Although Hull City's in the Premier League.
Well, they're in the Premier League. The way it works is, and honestly, like going to the webpage or going to the Wikipedia page is great, is it's an open competition. Like everybody in the English football pyramid is like eligible for the FA Cup.
Right.
So they start now. The third round proper is where all of the Premier League teams enter the competition.
Oh, that's where they enter.
And then the second round, I think it's like the teams from like the second tier or whatever. But it goes backwards. So there's like the first round, the second round, but before that, there's like the first round, preliminary round, then the second preliminary round, like the preliminary round.
NCAA.
Well, I was watching Gateshead versus West Brom Albion.
Why?
And it was on Fox Sports 2, which I didn't even know was a channel that I had, and that doesn't even come in HD, which makes it like barely a channel, right? And apparently, Gateshead is in like the fifth tier of northern crazy soccer, and they hung on for about 40 minutes without giving up a goal. Then the onslaught came, the pain, hammer came down.
Blythe was the lowest ranked team. They were in the seventh. Well, there's four that are considered the
four big ones,
professional, and then anything fifth and lower is called non-conference, and strictly speaking, it's not considered professional.
Yeah.
And so, like, Blythe was the lowest-ranked team of all in the seventh. They were in the seventh level, and they played, I think, Birmingham City, who's from the second level. And they actually had a 2-0 lead. Then they ended up losing.
Right.
Yeah.
But generally,
I mean, these dudes are like, you know, poets and carpenters and stuff.
Don't make fun of poets.
I'm not.
It's more useful to be a carpenter.
It's the salt of the earth types. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Now, should the Bengals have, surrendered when they knew A.J. Green and Gresham weren't playing? Like, when they said that before the game, I was like, why am I even going
to
watch this game?
Marvin Jones and Eifer, who's been out all year, and, you know, basically, if you took the soccer pyramid and applied it to the Bengals' receiver lineup, it kind of was, we had like Blythe playing all our wide receivers.
Yeah, it was like there's no one left after those guys, basically, that's been like, other than Hill, who was you know, fine, but obviously they put like eight guys in the box and waited for the Bengals to run.
It was
brutal. It was depressing.
It was our number three, number four, number seven, and number eight wide receiver, and number
Burkhead
three
or something
and
like
number
that.
Four tight end.
Yeah, that was brutal. And then it's like, you want your best guys there during the playoffs, and then it was like, well, none of their best guys are here. I mean, they're going to get killed.
Yeah. And they did.
And they did.
So,
but next year...
What's their draft position
for next year? And it doesn't help that we're, you know, Mike Brown is not as generous as... that's not proper of me to say. Beloved as Jerry Jones is by apparently the officiating Cognoscenti, it wasn't exactly what we were getting. Let's just say if the Bengals had a guy turned around, that I'm not waiting a minute and a half to expecting the flyer to get picked up. That's all I got to say.
So you thought the calls didn't go their way?
Oh, no. No, I mean, we had
I mean, I didn't think anything went their way. I didn't think the game went their way. I mean, it was just a spanking. And I felt bad for you because you're the only Bengals fan I know. Even the people that live in Cincinnati that I know are like, don't even talk to me about the Bengals, man. I gave up on them a long time ago. So
it's just incredible. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know.
But you guys have made the playoffs the last 4 years. I mean, it's
come down. Do they get past the first round? What? I was just asking.
They lost the last four. I mean, Andy Dalton, and I mean, they're a very good team. I mean, they're in a very difficult division, and they usually, you know, they've won the division a number of times.
If they're in that stupid Southern division, they'd be in the Super Bowl.
They'd be in the Super Bowl every year against the Jags or whatever.
The Colts have a bye.
Oh, my God.
The Colts, if you look at, and I'm serious, like, and I'll send this to you. Like,
don't you think playing the Bengals is kind of like having a bye?
For next year, because it, you know, it's based on, you know, they cycle around, but basically they decide that every time it cycles that whoever the South is playing has to be bad.
Right.
Yeah. Like, the Colts play the NFC South, and then they play all the garbage teams in their division.
Right.
So, like, it's called, okay, so you start with 11 wins.
Yeah, easily.
And go from there.
Right.
Whereas we get, like, the West next year, both Wests, which are full of all, like, you know, teams that won 9, 10, 11 games. And the Raiders. We get the Raiders.
Well, the Raiders, that's a win right there.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Yeah, that's the win.
Although I sent in my resume to be, because I wanted to at least be interviewed for the coach of the Raiders. So we'll see if
really?
Yeah,
oh,
I think
cool.
I'd be a good coach.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, you know, you just kind of look. The key to being the Raiders coach is that you just have, like, an eye patch on. You just wear an eye patch, and they're like, what's going on in that guy's head? It just can't even, just looks like he's got an eye patch on.
But, and then you have to have a parrot on your shoulder also?
That wouldn't hurt.
And a pirate
They're going to move to Los Angeles anyway, okay. So no one's going to care.
So I have to defend, the NFC and the board, there was a little bit of controversy. Mm-hmm. I do have to defend, Detroit really, like, is sort of like the Lions are kind of like the NFC's version of us.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Lions were terrible for a long time, and now they've
won a game
pretty good.
91.
Yeah, but I mean, they're pretty good. They're a cap-based
team with bad luck and things that have, like, you knew. The pass interference, watching the Lions game, I was like, I know that. Oh, a 10-yard punt. Of course a 10-yard punt.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. That was a weird punt.
That was very odd. I don't know what that was.
That was a bad punt.
What happened?
All these bad punters and you know, somebody will remain nameless, whose name is Chris Cluey.
Yeah, where is Cluey? Get Cluey on the phone.
We no kidding. See,
you know, we could get him. He could probably still get a job.
Did you watch the Cardinals punter?
I did not.
It wasn't on real
TV. Maybe the quarterback should have been the punter, and the punter should have been the quarterback. I don't know if it would have made a difference.
The Cardinals are down to their fourth quarterback, which meant that they were going to lose that game.
Well, yeah,
so
course.
I was like, kind of barely paid attention.
They started off pretty well.
All of their quarterbacks got injured.
Destroyed one by one. Yeah.
The guy I feel bad for is the backup.
Yeah,
which,
I mean,
the backup
play ahead of that guy.
Uh huh.
That guy was on his couch like 2 weeks ago. I mean, like,
I know,
what do you want him to do?
Now he's in.
He's like, what am I supposed to do? Something I've never done before?
I don't know.
Start a playoff game?
What?
If you want to lose,
yeah.
They should have just hiked the ball to Larry Fitzgerald and started blocking. Like, just block people. Just hike the ball to somebody and then block.
See, you'd be a great coach for the Raiders.
I'll leave you guys with this, just to get back to Blythe for a second. And I think I sent you this on Twitter. This was kind of the most awesome thing. It was the list of fines for team infractions that they impose on the players. I mean, mind you, this is like literally plumbers and things playing on his team. So it was like a if you were late for practice, it was a 5-pound penalty. And if you in the shower, like a 1-pound penalty. And if you forgot your uniform, it was 2. And but if you miss the team after party after the game, it's a 10-pound penalty. The worst penalty was missing the party after the game.
That sounds like a great team to play for.
Absolutely.
Hey, Danny D, if people want to follow you on Twitter, what's your deal? At Danny D.
Well, follow me on Twitter, QuizGuy66.
What guy? 66?
Quiz guy.
Quiz guy 66?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, or just look for the guy sending weird stuff to Jim the Poet, and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, just look
for Jim the Poet,
and then look at the one guy, like, sending weird stuff to Jim. That's me.
Quiz guy 66. Okay, thanks, Danny D.
All right, you guys have a great year. This is going to be a good year
for us. Stellar. Yeah, we're going to have a stellar year. Thanks, you too.
Callie G is on the boards. He's upset that I've made fun of Detroit again.
I told you.
Callie G says, I opened the windows and looked around me all the time when I was with friends and family visiting Detroit this past Christmas, and it is not at all decay and destruction. It is there living and breathing by all means, but Jim has only sees the city as destroyed, gone, nothing more. Jim is blind to the heart and grit of the people that exist there, creating and fighting the odds of media bias and hipster better-than-now attitudes he embodies.
Wow.
People in Detroit listen to WFMU via the internet. But with the sucky attitude Jim has toward the city, why should they support the show? And why should they show up and give anything during the marathon? There are consequences to the uppity attitudes toward the working and middle-class folks of the Motor City by a DJ sports hipster wearing New York-centric social blinders, says Callie G.
Well, that's pretty harsh.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just playing around.
I don't think of you as a hipster.
I'm too old and fat to be hip.
Everything else I agree with, you know.
I'm a terrible person. Clearly is knocked out.
Yeah.
No, I'm just having fun. Look, I don't know. Detroit is fine. I like Detroit. I went to Detroit a couple of times, and I had an enjoyable time at the Tigers game, and I like the people of Detroit.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff in Detroit, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be sort of this grand American city. I'm sorry that that doesn't exist anymore and that there's these, I mean, all kinds of weird, decayed remains.
You can't say that there's not a problem.
I would live in Detroit in one second.
The whole city's bankrupt.
I moved out of Brooklyn because we couldn't afford it. So.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
we could afford it. In Jersey City with the gritty poets of
Jersey City.
And but we could hipster gym.
I don't think.
But you should give during the marathon because I don't know.
Well, you should support WFMU even if you don't support us because we're not indicative of WFMU.
In fact, we are.
Sportsy Talk actually was a very controversial show. A lot of longtime DJs did not want us on the air.
We could have a Detroit episode, maybe if you want to go.
Why don't we do that? Yeah.
I will call in from Detroit.
We could go to Detroit.
It's cold right now, but I'll wait until it warms up.
I don't think I want to go when it's cold.
I mean, it's a little chilly.
I know Sluggo drove there once with his band. They did a show in Detroit. I drove a car through a couple of times. Well, they did a show there, and he said they went to this club, and they were, they did their show, and they went back. They were walking back to the car, and some bunch of guys started giving him a hard time and were threatening to kill him and stuff.
Jeez.
And
well, that happens to me every night here in Jersey City.
Well, of course. And these guys pulled out one of the guys pulled out a knife. And the drummer, who was about 5'3", like just flipped open the trunk of the car, pulled out a shotgun, said, "Okay, I don't mind being in a fight, but nobody's going to stab me." And the guys backed off and took off, and nobody in the band knew that he had a shotgun in the trunk.
Jeez.
It was like his biggest surprise to them. It's like, and this little guy pulls out a shotgun. It's like, okay. Nobody's stabbing me, though. So, you know, there.
You got to draw the line someplace.
That's what I know about Detroit. Nobody's going to stab you.
They might stab me. It's okay.
Well, no, you just take your gun.
I don't have one of those.
Why not? I did get
a Nerf gun for Christmas.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's fun.
I mean, it's, you know, it makes these little, like, that kind of noise.
Oh, makes a noise?
Yeah, the little bullets.
There's like a whistle in it or
makes
something?
Makes a little, yeah, bullety whistle.
You know, they're
noise.
Really flammable. So, like, if you shoot them at something and it goes through fire when it's going, it's like you could set everything on fire. Nerf balls are super flammable. It's fun.
You can
just, like, burn stuff down. It's
awesome. Giving me some good ideas for later on.
You could do that.
Have some fun at the gym house.
Burning things down.
Hipster town.
Hipster
gym
town.
House.
Hipster town.
201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368.
Call us up.
If you're Jerry Jones and you're
tired of hugging Chris Christie. If you're Chris Christie and you're tired of
fixing. You want to defend the honor of Detroit.
Who's he going to? So he's going to have to go to Seattle and fix the game there, right?
They won't give him tickets.
They won't?
No.
Oh, okay.
They will.
You don't want him in Seattle.
And it's a very loud place.
Hey, you know what's funny when you're watching NFL games is that they never mention the refs' names, really, except for Ed Hockley.
Well,
whatever game Ed Hockley
they love
works,
Ed Hockley.
Do they love him or do they just love to say his name? Because if he's working a game, they say his name like 20
every,
times.
Every official this week is like a 25 page. Like he'll be like,
yeah.
After further review, we saw that the the foot, one foot was out of bounds and the other foot was in bounds, and therefore, you know, it was just like,
yeah,
this,
and therefore,
like,
according to the rule, yeah, he just goes on and on.
Blah,
he
blah.
Explains,
like,
everything, right?
Jeez, dude.
See, if he'd been at the Dallas Lions,
but he's
game,
also pumped up. Like, he's, like, yeah, physically, like, stacked, full of muscles and stuff like that.
Full of steroids?
Probably.
Is he on steroids?
He could
allegedly
be.
Ed Hockley on steroids, allegedly.
I'm going to say that. Yeah.
I'd
say definitely he is.
This is another example of our hard-hitting investigative journalism. Ed Hockley on steroids. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I like how we make up stories.
Well, I was trying to watch a Knicks game last night.
Oh, God, why? Goodness. Aren't they like 5-31 now?
It's like 5 and a million.
I think they're 5-31. I'm not kidding. I think that's what it is. You could look it up, but I think so. It's just like, why they should just... I might start watching them just because how bad can they be? I mean, I just want to see how bad they are.
Oh, they're bad. But it's not even in an interesting way,
oh,
I would
not
say.
Interesting?
No, I mean, they got all beat right by, like, the Bucks last night by, like, 20 points. And the Bucks,
yeah,
are basically people who've shown up at the game and sat close enough to the front row that they're like, all right, you guys must be on the team, too. And they're like, yeah, just give us a ball. Let's go around. I mean, just terrible.
Just anybody?
Awful.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And they're better than the Knicks.
They're 20 points better, at least.
Wow.
And they were trying to, like, it's funny because I really don't like watching Knicks games, but I love watching Knicks post games.
Yeah.
With these guys.
Oh, when they try to be positive and put some spin
on it. Yeah, they're trying to put a good spin on it, and they're,
yeah,
like, well, you know, these Bucks are up and coming. And it's like, they're not. They're actually awful. Their best player's out, and they're 500. I mean, like, they're 500,
yeah,
in the West, you know?
Yeah.
And you guys are all, I mean, the Knicks are awful, awful, and to the point where they should not be on television.
Wow.
Or on a channel that maybe you get, or like on Fox Sports 2.
Put them on one of the channels I don't
single,
get.
They shouldn't
I'm
be in HD either anymore. They
no.
should be
Are
in like
in
single
HD?
Dimension.
Flattened.
They should just show
like
you like
Flatland. They should just show cutouts.
Yeah,
they should get one of those felt boards like in Bible school and have the Knicks like cut out in felt and just put them up and move them around and just show you that.
Well, and the Nets aren't
be
much
good.
Better. So, and
yeah.
I was saying, like, I actually might prefer to watch hockey, which, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like last night I was watching the Islanders and the Oilers for
uh-huh.
a while, and I was like, oh, this is kind of more enjoyable than like watching basketball teams get wiped out by, you know, mediocre teams from out of town. Like,
yeah,
what's going on,
good.
Guys?
Or did you see anybody with mumps when you were watching the
very possibly.
The
I mean,
hockey?
I do have an HD television, and
you
some
could
of those
you could see like the mumpage happening then on HD if you had an HD TV.
Yeah, I could see.
Yeah.
I think they're all going to get mumps. They're going to have to take a mumps break in the middle of the season.
They've had, like, it's spreading. You know, it's into other teams now. They think the St. Louis
just
Blues.
I don't
St.
even
Louis
understand
Blues
them. I don't know why the mumps. They should rename one of the teams the mumps.
Mumps.
The mumps.
Mumpsy talk.
Mumpsy talk.
Yeah, that's us. 201-209-9368. You know what about Danny D?
Yeah, how's he doing? I mean, I feel bad because
you know
those Bengals
comments,
are...
You know our comments board?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It's the Danny D Sportsy Talk comments board. He adopted our
he
comments board.
He adopted the comments board?
I don't think I had known that.
Oh.
I might have realized it at one time, and then, you know, my older brain just doesn't retain
Cat
things like it used to.
Kat in Chicago says she likes Detroit. So there you
All
go.
All right. Yeah.
Some people
you
like
know,
Detroit.
Probably, it's
I
probably
like Detroit.
Awesome.
You know,
I know a lot of people who are moving in are like... I'm not kidding. They're planting orchards where the houses used to be. You know, the houses have been, like, fallen down and been bulldozed, and nobody lives there. So they're just kind of reclaiming the land in the city limits and building, like, planting orchards and things. That's happening. Beehives.
Yeah, I mean,
that seems kind of hipsterish to me, but, I mean, you know.
Beehives? No, beehives are cool.
Orchards.
I mean,
in
that's,
the city.
I like
taking
fruit.
It back, moving back there to do that, I think is kind of. But anyway, yeah.
People like Detroit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fine.
Period.
Period. Yeah, that's all we'll say about Detroit. I wanted the Lions to win. I was rooting for
I
the
was
Lions.
Rooting for the Lions.
Who
I have
was
a
it?
Bunch of Lions.
Chris Christie wasn't.
No, Chris Christie was not.
You have Lions stuff?
Yeah, because Ben, my roommate's from Detroit, so like.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
you're,
I buy
ben
him all that
Detroit?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah, I
oh,
buy
I
him all
that
stuff.
Well, you guys could go there.
I know. I want to go, but he says I'll get killed there.
Oh.
So, I mean, I'd probably get killed sooner or later anyway. So, I mean, we might as
he's
well.
He's from Detroit, and he doesn't want you to go to Detroit because he doesn't want you to get killed.
Because I thought we should live. He like,
yeah.
owns a house and stuff like that.
You
I was like,
go
well, we could
house.
Go, yeah, live in the house.
Is anybody
and
living
I could go
in
to
his
Tigers games
now,
all day and
fallen,
stuff.
down?
Somebody's living there, but it kind of is falling down, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little...
But he could, yeah, you guys, if he has a house, you could...
That's what I'm saying. Let's just go hang out.
Yeah, you go to Lions games, go to Tigers games.
Tigers games, Pistons games, hang out, take it in.
They have a hockey team, I forget.
They do, the
Red Wings.
I think they play in someplace else.
Uh-huh. Not in Detroit?
No.
Okay.
Callie's saying that they were harsh towards you. Callie, it's fine. I'm a jerk. I understand. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You don't have to apologize.
No, we don't.
I'm an a-hole.
That's why you're on the radio.
I kind of am. I mean, you know, let's be honest with me. So I don't know. I was upset because I looked online and there's no Winter Olympics this year.
Oh, yeah, they only do them, what, every 2 years, 4 years? Oh, do you know what happened today, though?
What?
It's very sad. The U.S. ski team lost a couple of guys.
And they were young guys, like 18 and 19 or something?
Yeah, 19 and 20, I think. But they were, like, they were trying out for the U.S. ski team, and they were good prospects, and they were going to ski in some competition, I think, this weekend. And they, you know, they were working their way up, and they looked like they were, you know, might make it for the Olympic team someday. And, their names are Ronnie Burlak and Bryce Astle, I think.
One of them was from New Hampshire, which I grew up in Massachusetts, so I take all of New England as my people.
And the other guy was from Utah.
But that's sad. Those are young guys. I mean, I guess there was like an avalanche warning that had gone around and stuff.
Yeah, well, the thing was there was a prepared trail that they were supposed to stick to, and there were like six of them out there. There was these two guys and four other guys, and they went off the prepared trail. And that set off an avalanche, so they actually caused the avalanche. And the other four guys managed to ski out the... I don't know how they get out of an avalanche, but they managed to get out of it either sideways or something, like a rip current? I don't know. I don't actually know. That all sounds terrifying to me. Yeah, no, I don't know what you do. But but the other four guys made it out, but these two guys did not make it. And
they're super young to die, and that's pretty
that's
depressing.
Horrible. Well, Stuart Scott died. I should have the News of the Dead music. Where is it? I don't know.
Who's of the Dead?
It's in the other...
Oh.
It's in the library.
I forgot.
Yeah, it's in the library. Sorry.
Yeah, but Stuart Scott died from the ESPN.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of, and I never really took a... I mean, I appreciated what he did. I just... I felt like after the main bunch of guys, the first bunch of SportsCenter people did all those, like, oh, we're, you know, doing our... catchphrases and stuff like that. I thought it was kind of played out. And then Stuart Scott was in like the next round with like Rich Eisen and some of those guys.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I don't know, man. It's just kind of loud. And, you know, like, you know, I don't know what booyah means all the time. You know, like,
booyah. That was one of his catchphrases.
That was one of his big ones.
Cool as the other side of the pillow.
Cool. I never liked that very much.
Yeah.
But I mean, he seemed like a nice guy or whatever. I mean, he seems cool or whatever. But then he struggled with cancer for like 7 years or something.
Yeah, and he was only 49 when he died. So he got
super
cancer
young.
When he was 42, which is, you know, very young.
Yeah.
And they're very upset.
Well, I think, looking back, he really did kind of bring a voice to sports reporting that had never been there before in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess I can appreciate it, but I always was kind of just annoyed by the way that he presented it and stuff like that. It always seemed so forced and so boisterous, but people really cared about him and cared about like the way that he broadcast. So, I mean, and I feel bad that a guy died of cancer. I mean, that's really sad.
What kind of cancer was it? I didn't see that.
I don't know. It was, but he was struggling for it with years, and he had been off and on for a long time.
Yeah, and he'd come back and stuff.
Yeah, I thought he was off the show for a while and stuff.
I found a quote from him that I thought was really good, I guess, after he first got cancer, you know, and he was talking about dying, right? And he said, when you die, it does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
Which reminds me a lot of that Jim Valvano speech at the ESPYs a long time ago, too. And, I mean, I hope people are inspired by, I mean, at least inspired by his life and the way he lived it. And I guess he had some kids, and I mean, that's pretty sad. Because I think people really... I guess I appreciate him more than I did when he was on all the time. And when I was watching SportsCenter, like, you know, twice a night.
Yeah.
I think I was always just kind of like, oh, God, you know.
You
like,
just got...
Cool, and then the other side of the pill is going to come up like 10 times tonight or
Booyah
something.
Booyah is going to come up.
Booyah.
Yeah, so you just got tired of it?
I never really... Yeah, I just never really...
Yeah, but in retrospect, you can kind of
I'm super tired of, like, ESPN and the way that they,
oh, yeah.
you know, have been produced over the last 15 years. Because it really does... it's all about stupid catchphrases as opposed to being interesting and funny or trying to, you know, cover sports in a different way. It becomes mm-hmm. about, I'm going to have my catchphrase thing. Maybe it's a little bit less than like that than now than it was, but it became like, let's do what Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann do every night, but we'll do it with our thing. And I was like, I've seen this already. Like, I've already seen all this. Like, it was yeah. already pretty good the way it was, and then, you know, it fell apart or whatever. So, but that's the news of the dead.
Oh, yeah, for today.
The Red Wings play in downtown Detroit, says Dave X. I thought they played, see, the Pistons play in outside of downtown Detroit. They play like in a, the Palace of Auburn Hills. So that's sort of like north of Detroit.
Okay.
I guess I don't know where the...
Where the Red Wings play.
Because the Lions and the Tigers
downtown,
share like a parking parking garage.
I thought downtown Detroit was just that big Renaissance Center. And that was it. I didn't think there was any like...
There's big tall buildings and stuff like that. I mean, there's big four buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah. Is that downtown? Is that their downtown?
I guess.
I don't know.
I've only been there like one time.
Yeah. I've never been there.
I mean,
yeah, we should go. We should do a remote.
Well, there's somebody, said, Patrick says I can stay on his couch.
Or am I going to stay?
You got what? We'll go together.
All right. I don't want
to. Dale asks, Bronwyn, can you combine douche of the week and news of the dead into dead douche of the week?
That's an excellent
That's a good idea, Dale.
That's a great idea.
But only if people who die are
douchey.
Yeah,
we have to find some douchey deaths.
Douchey deaths.
I'll look for some.
At the top of the hour, it's Dr. Game Show.
Yeah, are you set up to do that?
I mean, I have to figure out how to do that.
Okay.
Because I'm sitting on the board today.
Yeah, I know. And you get
So I'll be
exciting.
Playing along.
Well, I'm running the board right now, but you're going to be running the board for Dr. Game Show today.
Right.
That's exciting. Do you have the file? Can you find it?
I mean, I haven't done it yet.
That's what you're sitting over there.
We've been doing our show.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, our show. Yeah, our show's pretty good.
Our show's good.
Yeah. You know what we should do? If we can swing it.
Yeah.
Well, first we have to find out, and it's pretty late, but we do have to find out if we can get in on like a media day conference call for the NFL.
I'm sure we can.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, but we'll try.
They just give you a...
Last year they were kind of awful about, like, there was a cutoff date beyond which you couldn't get credentials and stuff. But, I mean, if it's just a conference call, they might let us.
I have total faith in your ability to seem like a professional radio person. And
yeah, I
for
know.
Me to just be sort of the jerky sidekick-y,
okay. All right, good.
You know.
All right, we'll do that.
Guy with the haiku poems about...
I know, that's so absurd,
golden
though,
because,
I mean, there's nobody less... professional probably than me.
That's in
the world of WFMU, I am, I guess.
You are the queen.
That's kind of shocking.
Of sports talk radio. Did I tell you that John Sterling and Susan Wallman are coming back for another year, but this year it's on WFAN instead of the old station?
Oh, it's on WFAN?
WFAN, after like 25 years, decided to switch from the Yankees, from the Mets to the Yankees.
Oh, good. So they're actually going to broadcast the games this year. Because last year they didn't broadcast the games on radio. You had to, I mean, not on something I could get through.
I thought it was WCBS wasn't doing it.
No, not last year. I couldn't get the games on the radio last year. So good. I'm glad.
To be on the fan.
Yeah, now I can listen to John Sterling all season.
There was a sequence, and you know, I have a lot of time on my hands late at night, and so there was like a...
Is that all you have on your hands late at night?
It's pretty much all I have.
Okay, go ahead.
But it starts out, like, it was like 10 or 12 minutes of just John Sterling losing track of the ball, or
oh,
not
my
knowing
God.
What.
Yeah, where was that? Where did you hear that?
It was on YouTube. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, he doesn't know what the pitch count is. And the
doesn't
pitch
know
count,
where it is.
The pitch count is on the big jumbotron, right? If you just
I'm
look,
thinking
you
it's
can
right
read,
in front of him. I mean, they're looking down at monitors that have the
have
score
monitors,
on it.
They have monitors. They have guys doing stats for them and feeding them info and telling them what to do next. And he can't keep track of what the pitch count
it's not,
is.
It just kills doesn't. He can't
me.
Do it, man.
No, he's terrible. Oh my God, another year of John Stroh. Why?
Well, he's iconic in sort of a terrible way. I mean, at some point, I'll
but
be
I mean,
saying about John Sterling, well, I appreciated maybe what he did more
now that he's dead.
Dead.
God, he's like 80. I mean, shouldn't he die soon or retire?
I don't think he's that old.
He is. He's in his. He's well into his 70s.
I
guarantee he's well into his 70s. He really is. Look it up. 201-209-9366.
He's 66.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well into his 70s.
Well into his 70s.
He's lying about his age.
Susan Waldman is 68. She's from Newton, Mass.
You know that John Sterling's 76 if he says 66. You know he's knocking 10 years
off. You
know
he doesn't, he can't.
He is. He
can't keep track.
He's knocking 10 years off his age to try to seem younger. Like 66
he doesn't look
seems
younger.
Younger.
I mean,
no,
he looks,
I'm telling you, he's 70s.
He's old and he's old and crazy and insane.
Yeah. He's senile. He doesn't know what's
So I would
on.
Like Mike Francesa to call Yankees games because he has that voice of God slash the Pope.
Yeah, that'd be good.
He'd be like, maybe that was a strikeout. I don't care what the umpire said. That was a strikeout.
Should get Chris Christie to fix the games.
Fix the games for him? He's a Mets fan, apparently.
Oh, God, of course he
is. Doesn't that explain things?
That explains a lot. Mets and Cowboys.
Mets, Cowboys. I don't remember the other two.
Wow.
But he doesn't have random teams from. But just being a Cowboys fan means
that's
you're.
That's just wrong.
He said it was because he liked Roger Staubach when he was. But, like, how old is Chris Christie that he remembers even Roger Staubach playing?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really nuts.
He's not going to be president either.
Also, he's not. I mean, Roger Staubach hasn't played. I mean, get over Roger Staubach. I mean, it's like all those Jets fans had to get over Joe Namath.
Well, that
know?
Was the one
I mean,
guy
like,
ever.
Yeah, I mean, just get over this.
I would
guys.
Take Joe Namath over Geno Smith right now. I mean, I don't know what Joe's doing tonight.
But he would be better than
Geno. Drive right down to the stadium. Let's go.
Yeah, that would be good.
Chris Christie is 52, so I guess it's possible that he remembers Roger Staubach vaguely.
Really?
But, I mean, I don't know. I'm 42.
Yeah.
I don't remember the 70s very much. It's a lot of drugs for me.
You don't remember last week very much.
I don't remember. I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I know. Me neither.
That hug is really not a good hug, by the way.
Yeah, no,
in terms of the...
It's bad. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't go for the hug. If they don't want to touch you with their hands, they don't want to be hugged.
Yeah, it's terrible. 201-209-9368.
Dave X says John Sterling used to do Islander games on the radio. Now, it's Howie Rose,
really?
And he wasn't even... Like, apparently he didn't even show up, and it was some guy I'd never heard in Edmonton. And then Edmonton killed him.
Yeah.
So I guess it was like the Islanders were like... Kind of like, what are we doing out here? I don't even want to go to Edmonton. Edmonton. Yeah, I'm going to take all the things, bad things I say about Detroit and now.
Now say it about Edmonton.
I'm going to trash Edmonton.
Trash Edmonton because nobody's listening there.
They might be.
What?
We have listeners everywhere. Not we.
I know.
WFMU.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sportsy Talk does not. WFMU does. This is WFMU, by the way. This is the fewer people get their sports talk radio from WFMU than from any other station in the nation. Right?
Yeah, that's very possible.
I think it's true.
Ralphine says, when I was a kid, we used to say boo-yow, which I think is much better than boo-yah or boo-yah.
Boo-yow.
Boo-yow.
Boo-yow. Huh. All right, we'll work on that. We should get catchphrases.
Well, we had Hey Jeets or what is it? Yay Jeets?
Yeah Jeets.
Yeah Jeets.
God, you don't even remember anymore.
Oh, I was
going. Yeah Jeets was our catchphrase of 2000.
I had an idea I wanted to bring to you on the show.
Yes. What's that?
Well, you know, I tried to write a theme song for us one point. And it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, we're a really big station.
WFMU is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a band called Speedy Ortiz, and they do a lot of, and they're actually a really good band.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to write to them and see if they would write a theme song for our show based
for
on
free.
Some of the lyrics. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't have any money, right?
No, we don't have money.
I mean,
why would they do it for free?
Because we would promise to play it all the time and mention they're a great band.
Would they want, like, royalties and stuff?
I don't, that's a lot more complicated than I thought.
I always complicate things, I'm sorry.
No, you're smarter and better about, you know, living in the real world. I'm carrying a typewriter around.
Yeah, that's amazing. Co-host Jim the Poet came in today with a GX6750 Daisy Wheel electronic typewriter. Now, still in the box, brand new.
I got it from Amazon.
Do they still make them?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, this isn't like dead stock from some. It's
I mean,
a
it's
brother.
Dead stock because it's a typewriter.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, is it? I mean, I can't believe the brother company is still making Daisy Wheel electronic typewriters.
It's got correctable in case I make a mistake.
Yeah, in case you make a mistake. Yeah.
I don't know. See, part of my thing is as a poet, you know, it's hard for me to compose on the computer. Because I'll be writing, and then I'll need to spell a word, and then I'll go someplace, and I'll start looking at porn, and I'll get distracted, and I'll never finish the poem.
Yeah.
And I used to compose only on typewriters.
Uh-huh.
Like a big Selectric 2, like one of those big blue IBM.
Yeah.
You turn on, it would hum, and you would hit the keys and it would like, and so you really felt like you were doing some hard work, you know, as a writer.
Yeah.
And, you know, my poems need all the help they can get.
So you thought if you had an
so it was like, I was thinking maybe I would, if I had a typewriter.
Don't they have Selectrics anymore?
Probably, but I couldn't carry those on the subway. I mean, I got sent to the bookstore I work at from Amazon
it.
Because somebody gave me some Amazon credit. My brother, Jeremy, I think.
Oh. You don't even remember who. That's
I think
good.
It was Jeremy.
Okay. Thanks, Jeremy.
I had a lot of credit with those guys.
Oh, okay.
So now I have.
But, you could get like an Olivetti manual. I bet they still have those.
I would
that's
probably.
Like, that doesn't even. You don't even have to plug that in or anything.
Yeah, but that's
it's
like,
just like. It doesn't
ding,
hum.
Ding, ding. It's just so. I don't know, something it's so elegant, and this is just so utilitarian in some way that
All right.
So, like, during the year when I'm watching baseball games, I like to write letters to baseball players or send them paintings of themselves. I sent one to Troy Tulowitzki.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, there was
I like your paintings, by the way.
There was
I've
like,
seen some
well, maybe we'll raffle some off for the marathon and stuff like that. You know,
that'd be good.
Like
your,
you know, nudes. Yeah. Nude gym. But I did this one of Troy Tulowitzki where it was he was like an eight-armed kind of like octopus guy.
Yeah.
And it said, "Who will stop Troy Tulowitzki?" or something like that. Oh. And I sent it to him, and I never heard back, so I assume it went in the garbage or something like that.
Oh. No, I was waiting for the exciting conclusion where he like wrote
story.
You back and said, "Oh, this is great, Jim."
No, like the only letter I've ever gotten back from him, like I've written to a lot of people who've been on my fantasy team thanking them for their hard work during the year and stuff like that.
Yes, that's good.
The only person I've heard back from was Euclidus. But I mean, like, it was just a form letter that was like, I mean, it was crazily written. It was written like, because that guy just kind of stares at the wall all night, you know, kind of sweating and holding a bat and kind of like thinking about how to get hits and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was just like a lot of ellipsis in the middles of sentences that there was no reason for. It was like, thanks for your support, dot, dot, dot. It means the world to me, dot, dot, dot.
It was like a form letter, but it was.
Yeah, it was a form letter of crazy ellipses.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He's retired now.
Yeah, he has to stay home with his ellipses.
Sean G says, "Hey Jim, where can I read your poems? Tuning in from Somerville, Mass."
Yeah. Oh.
I used to live in
Jim, the poet's
South
poetry.
Medford, Smedford, Mass, as
you
I call it.
You have published books, do you not?
I do, someplace.
Okay. Can we get them on Amazon?
Yeah.
All right.
But they're very expensive on Amazon. Some of them are like from secondary places that I don't know. For some of them are collectible, not because I'm in them, but because other people are in them. Is one with Fred Moten, who was up for the National Book Award.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's like $200 or $300.
Wow.
But there's other, you could find my stuff easily enough someplace. But now that I have my typewriter,
you can't look for Jim the Poet, though. You have to look for
Jim Burley.
B-E-H-R-L-E. Which I mispronounced for years. I was so humiliated.
No, I was going to change my pronunciation.
Oh, God. You're so
but
awful.
People do that.
It's very upsetting. Hey, guess what? It's almost time for Dr. Game Show.
Oh, Dr. Game Show's coming on.
We were talking about your typewriter and your poetry, and we forgot to talk about sports again.
Oops.
Well, anyway, this has been Sportsy Talk. I guess I better put
we
in
had a pretty good show.
Music.
Thanks for everybody on the boards.
Okay, what we're going to do, though, is we're going to try to get press credentials for a conference call for the Super Bowl Media Day.
Okay.
And
the Speedy Ortiz. Am I writing to them?
Yeah, write to them.
And Aaron Hernandez.
And I'm going to, write to Aaron Hernandez in prison and ask him if he wants to call us collect, and we'll take his call on the air.
We'll take his call on the air.
And also, I want to try to get the Westminster Kennel Club to give us press credentials so we can go to the dog show and record.
When is the dog show?
Usually it's in February. I'll find out the exact dates.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, but we could go. Maybe not at night. Go in the day when they do the benching in the back, and go talk to all the.
I don't know what any of that. I'll go anytime you want.
Okay, we'll go. We'll go.
I mean, I'm ready.
Can you get a day off if we have to go to the dog
show? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could get a day off. We'll ask Chris Christie. I'll write to Chris Christie.
Yeah, write to Chris Christie and see if he can get you a day off to go to the dog show, because that would be cool, and then we could record a whole show at the dog show.
I'm ready.
I think that'd be awesome
to record a show.
All right, that's what we'll do. All right, that's our plan. For 2015, Happy New Year to all the listeners, and thank you for listening.
Thanks
and,
for everybody on the board.
Yep.
Robert says, New York Raiders. That'd be pretty cool.
Whoa.
New York Raiders.
They'd have to play, like, in Staten Island or something.
Wow.
Ah, that's it. Okay, so this has been Sportsy Talk on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Thanks for inviting us into your home tonight, and may God bless.
Stay tuned for Dr. Game Show.
Welcome to Dr. Game Show. I'm your host, Joe Firestone, and you are listening to WFMU. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is January 5th, 2015, and what is exciting about today is that today is the Dr. Game Show pre-recorded episode 7. And this episode is called We Can't Hear You, because it's pre-recorded, so no callers can call in, but thank you for thinking of us. So we've got a very exciting show today. We have Manolo, obviously. Hi, Manolo.
Screak. Oh, hello. I just opened up a window, and I'm talking to you through a window.
Well, Manolo's been sharpening his skills, as you can see. Really, I thought there was a window in here that was uncanny. And we also have Miles Portek with us today. Hi, Miles.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm good. It's good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, I know, Miles, you are a bar worker.
Yeah. I do bar keeping and I do sound in a bar.
You do sound in a bar.
Yeah.
Okay. And what else?
I'm a former dinosaur. I used to be a dinosaur in New Jersey, in an open air science museum for children.
What did you do there?
I was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it was the best job of my life. I was paid to make children scared.
You wore a costume?
No, not a costume, a puppet.
Oh,
it's like a 16-foot long roaring T-Rex with a microphone that manipulates my voice. And terrifying.
Why is it in open air?
You know, to have that Jurassic Park feel.
They made a Jurassic Parkish
in Secaucus.
They made a Jurassic Parkish.
Jurassic Parkish in Secaucus. That's the name. That's the new name of the show. Oh boy, Jurassic Parkish in Chicago. Well, and you also have a newsletter. You're from Australia.
Yeah. I am from Australia, and I like to keep in touch with my friends. And the way I do that is by sending a newsletter in the post. So it's lots of bits and pieces of things that I've found, and then everyone gets a copy. So if you want to join it, just go to www.whereintheworldisportek.com/miles.
Oh, great. And people can get a letter?
Yeah, add your address to it if you trust a stranger from the radio land.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what everybody's doing right now. They're trusting strangers with their precious time. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. That reminds me. I will say also that, Miles, you are like a pretty notorious, like, you're kind of like, every time there's something weird, I know you're going to be around there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I generally find myself in strange places or with weird stuff going on. It's a fair bet.
Well, and now you're here. You're here, and we're pre-recording this beautiful show. Manolo, you've got a few new sound effects. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me just cue that up.
Yeah, cue that up right now. Just take your time.
This is a okay. It's crump.
What was that? What was that one? That was.
I cooked them up for Miles. They're Australian themed. This is
But what was it?
This was the sound in someone's head when they were referred to as a Kiwi.
Well, that I now that I hear, think about it and think about that sound, it really that makes a lot of
it's
sense.
Perfect.
Any others you got that you've been working on?
Oh, sure. What's that? Okay, let me just play this one. Plap. That one. What's that famous landmark in Australia?
Which one?
It's like the land formation.
Oh, Uluru. In the middle, the big rock. Yeah. Yeah, Uluru.
That's the sound of a husband slapping it.
Wow, a husband. Wow, we know marriage. I guess marriage is on the mind, huh, yeah. Manolo?
Yeah.
Do you have any potential marriage coming up?
Oh, no. no.
I forgot the golden rule. Keep Manolo's personal life
out of the game. I'd like to stay out of it.
Okay, great. Okay, so we've had a few games today. Now, listen, here's the thing is that we only have Manolo. We only have a few guests today, which means just one, and we don't have any callers. So this means that in this special edition of We Can't Hear You, Dr. Game Show, Miles will have to get to 100 points by himself. If Miles succeeds in getting 100 points, then Manolo will sing, apparently he will sing a very well-prepared victory song.
Yeah, I really prepared it.
Great, thank you. And if he doesn't get to 100 points, then Manolo will sing a song of rejection and failure. Is that right?
Yeah, it's less prepared because I feel like he's going to win.
Oh. Manolo, that's very sweet.
I don't expect that from Manolo.
I know. I mean, you do. You should. He's warm, but, you know, like a warm husband, I'd say.
Yeah. He's going to make a great warm husband.
He won't hit any rocks.
Nope.
Flump. Okay, so, well, what was that sound again?
It was plap.
I'm really impressed that you remembered it. Really, maybe it seems more legit now.
I like flump better, but that's from a different country.
What country is
maybe
that?
Maybe hitting the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you familiar with my work?
All your CDs.
Those husbands are just busy hitting landmarks, huh?
The flump one was track 378 on my fourth album.
If you're familiar.
Yeah.
That was me and my wife's first dance.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You put it on loop.
Flip. Flip. Flip.
Oh, boy. Oh, so Miles, also, you haven't slept, right?
No. Yeah, I just came off an all-night karaoke shift at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a time where I'd normally be dreaming. So things are going to happen.
Great. Well, so are you ready to play Dr. Game Show?
I'm ready.
Get to 100 points? I'll be keeping score, okay? So now, Miles, this first game. So are you ready for the sound effect for this one?
Yes.
Okay. This first game is called Sounds Like a City, and it's submitted by Teresa Ming from Pittsburgh.
Honk, honk.
Great theme song. I couldn't think of a catchier thing. Okay, so this one is, okay, so this is a very interesting game, I thought. I like this one that it was Teresa submitted. So basically, it's kind of like crossword cues for cities.
Mm-hmm.
So, clues, crossword clues for